Hot Business on Hot 1027.
And finally, as we approach 7 o'clock on this Wednesday evening, markets and company news, I'm talking to Gary Boyson from Rand Swiss. So let's start with the overall picture, Gary. Good evening to you. And resource stocks driving the market a little higher today. And notably, Sibanye up about 3.2%.
Yeah, so it's a little bit different from the usual resource-driven rally in that it hasn't been totally dominated by the typical gold miners. So it's not the likes of Anglo Gold and Goldfields driving the rally. It's, as you say, a recovery in Sibanye, which is helping matters, but it's also the likes of Glencore, Anglo American. So some of the diversifieds actually increasing. Now, some of this is probably coming from just the fear that we're going to see slightly higher commodity prices after the overnight news around the conflict that's developing between India and Pakistan.
I also see that Aspen shares, Gary, are starting to recover, up almost 1% today after all the difficulties about 10 days ago. I guess the question that investors would be asking tonight, though, is whether this is sustainable in any way.
Yeah, so if you listen to the CEO, Stephen Sard, speaking, you know, while this is going to result, you know, the dispute could potentially cut 2 billion rand off their core earnings, it doesn't fundamentally change the prospects at Aspen. And the challenge that Aspen has at the moment is that they've got these big sterile facilities and they're struggling to fill them with capacity. So the dispute that knocked the share price specifically relates to, you know, manufacturing technology contract around mRNA, so that's vaccine production, but they are converting those facilities into GLP-1 manufacture. So if you think about that, that's the Ozempic, the Mounjaro, it'll be the generic version of that. So they are confident they're going to be able to fill that capacity in time. But unfortunately, investors have heard this before, and I think that's why they were just so spooked with this contract. So, you know, when you do get a big share price correction like this, it does tend to overshoot. So the idea that we are going to get some sort of a recovery rally, I think, is very relevant. And if you're following the Warren Buffett, Charlie Munger view of how to invest in stocks, if you think Aspen is going to be around in 10 years and you think that they will fill manufacturing facilities and is one of the key generic pharmaceutical manufacturers globally. If this is a business that you will invest in for the long term, this kind of noise is really in the short term is an opportunity for you to add to your portfolio.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. There are lots of empty square meterage at the moment, and that is a problem. Gary, any reason why Naspers and Prosus are down today?
Yeah, not anything specific. So we're obviously coming off, you know, a spate of public holidays, you know, both domestically and internationally, and a lot of the Asian markets were closed. So some of the moves that you might see on the likes of Tencent or Naspers could be a little bit skewed just as the market catches up, you know, and prices off the Tencent holding in Asia. But overall, there's nothing specific out on the two companies that we should be worried about, at least. We've got, you know, we've had an incredible rally in Naspers' share price back above 5,000 rand per share. So at this stage, it looks like a little bit of healthy profit taking. We're getting a little bit of a risk-off sentiment today. So maybe investors, you know, pulling, you know, some of the portfolio flows, just pulling out of emerging markets a little bit, which is putting a bit of pressure on it. But nothing specific that should have investors afraid.
You got to love our yo-yo rand, don't you? Trading in a range today, 1817. To 1834. I've got it 1827 on my screen right now, about 0.5% down, but still overall showing a little bit of much needed strength.
And part of this is going to be dollar weakness as well. So if we look at the dollar index, which is a measure of the U.S. currency against six of its largest trading partners, that's maintained below that 100 rand level. And we haven't really seen the dollar appreciating. And when we do get risk-off trade like we have now, normally what you'd see is a rush to safe havens, a move into gold, a move into yen, a move into Swiss francs, and a move into U.S. dollars. Now, the dynamic has changed since the more erratic policies from the Trump administration have come out, and the dollar isn't seen as the safe haven asset it used to be. So with the risk-off trade, you would have actually expected the dollar to rise significantly and the rand to be sold off aggressively. But you know, we've seen the trading range, but we are significantly firmer than we were, let's say, a month ago on the currency. We are weakening in general against all the pairs. So, you know, down around 1.5 against the dollar, 1.4 against the euro, and maybe 1.4 against the pound as well. So this is broad-based rand selling, but from a very strong position. So also nothing really to worry about there, especially ahead of that FOMC meeting that we have later tonight.
Talking about safe haven, I see that gold is down about 1.2% today, and the sentiment is that talks now between the US and China casting a little bit of shadow over the optimism around bullion, and there's a weakened demand for safe haven assets, but as far as the metal price is concerned, still in a good place.
Oh, still in a good place. So, you know, we were above $3,400 per ounce, which is just off all-time highs. So, you know, a little bit of a correction in gold, I think, was a reasonable given the run that we've seen in gold over the last little bit. And I think investors should remember that, you know, ultimately, gold doesn't pay a coupon. It doesn't have a yield. So there's no dividend coming from your gold holdings. But what that does mean is that when interest rates fall, gold actually becomes relatively more attractive. And as I said, we've obviously got the Fed tonight. I mean, we are overwhelmingly expecting no change from them. But we are still expecting, you know, if you look at Fed funds futures, the base case is that we will probably get 325 basis point cuts into the December meeting. So we do expect interest rates to fall slightly. Hopefully, the South African Reserve Bank takes its cue from that and looks at our inflation picture, looks at our growth numbers and says we can have a little bit of relief as well. But in a lower interest rate environment, that should be very supportive for gold. We've also seen a lot of central bank buying as well. So the shorter term correction as markets stabilized, I think, is very natural. And for me, doesn't take away the bull case that we've seen for gold so far, and very much could see gold moving a lot higher.
Now, there's a note out today from the ratings agency Moody's. It's cut South Africa's growth forecast to 1.5%. But before we start to panic, more broadly, in its global outlook, it expects the world economy to expand by just 1.9% this year and around 2.3% in 2026. So there is contraction the world over.
Yeah, and we look at it, and those estimates, you know, they're significantly below what something like OPEC is predicting on global growth, and that's one of the reasons that we're seeing oil prices come down as much as it is. But a lot of this is based on the uncertainty around trade policy at the moment, and these estimates can change so quickly. So, you know, while Moody's has been less optimistic on South Africa, it is expected that they'll actually move our rating to having positive outlook soon as well, which will follow on from what S&P has recently announced. So overall, looking at our debt to GDP, I think it is looking a lot more sustainable, specifically in a lower oil environment where our inflation will be under control. And while, you know, as you say, we've got structural issues in South Africa, and I don't think anyone was expecting South Africa to grow to maybe 3-4%. But Moody's basically highlighting factors that we already know about actually could probably be read optimistically.
And just a final one before I let you go. You'll agree that investor confidence is always about optics. And good to see, I guess, that the finance minister saying that government has no plans to nationalize the Reserve Bank. And that will send positive signals out, particularly to the international investor community.
I think interfering in your Reserve Bank is always a critical sign for any international investor. I mean, we saw what happens with, you know, hard monetary policy invention in the likes of Turkey. And the problem with this is that the South African Reserve Bank has around 800 private shareholders. But other than, you know, a slight governance angle, which is incredibly restricted, they have no influence on our monetary policy. They have no influence on our regulatory environment either. The governor and the deputy governors are appointed by the president. So the whole idea of nationalizing the Reserve Bank is one, it's going to be expensive because you've got to pay out the 800 private shareholders. But it also has very limited upside in nationalization. So it really just doesn't make sense. And, to nationalize it would send absolutely the wrong message in terms of optics. So very good to see that our finance minister is helping to assuage those fears.
Gary Boyson from Rand Swiss, thank you very much.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7.